Open your Bible. Our reading tonight is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, of this age, rather, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. O Lord our God, we thank you for this moment in time in our lives that you brought us here today, not just to sing these hymns mechanically, but to stir up our hearts and our minds about the reality of those writers you have gifted with this knowledge of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his abundant mercy, that aside from his grace and mercy, there is no gift of responding to this great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, along with the Apostle John, what manner of love is this that you gave to us? Amen. That we are called, that God has bestowed upon us, that we are called the children of God. May we in the end, dear Father God, as we reflect upon these words of yours, may we be like Paul, that having been moved while he is writing this in prison, he's praying for these brothers we are about to read about in their faith, encouraging them like us tonight. Fill us with encouragement. Remove all obstacles of selfishness and pride from pasture that continue to creep in our soul today. May your precious blood will cover us, please. And remove this selfishness, this other form of sin that eats every fiber of our soul and our being. And thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in him there is forgiveness of sin, the redemption of our soul, according to the riches of his grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to speak about this New Year's, I would say probably when I was young, we are always asked by our teacher in English to write a new resolution. But as a resolution, it is man's effort, isn't it? It never happens. You can say all the good words about what is the past year, and this new year, we are aiming this. But we are going to do it on our own strength. I don't think it will succeed, but it will all bound to fail. I just want to echo the truth. On Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20, verses 10 to 20, how to prepare for the spiritual battle of your life. Many people today are buying a lot of insurance. There are even pastors who are buying death insurance. When they die, they know where to be buried and tackle every financial difficulties or chaos when they die. But they want to ensure that they are buried properly and with honor and dignity. People are also buying a lot of mortgages to prepare and probably reward themselves for their good efforts in their job. This is good in itself, but does that satisfy every man? I know of a man who was 24 years old, but he went to the seminar I attended, but at the age of 25, he made millions of pesos in the Philippines because of corruption. He almost died because people are chasing him to ask part of the millions he's asking in the government departments. And he earns about nearly 50 million pesos, and half of this has been handed out. Chasing the wind, the Bible says, isn't it, at the end. People are preparing themselves to buy insurance for their health, so that when they retire or they will get sick, there is something to lean on and not to burden others in your family. Someone has said, when I was working in the American Timex company in the Philippines in the accounting department, I read an article while I was working counting money, but it just impresses in my mind until now. It says something like this, which is similar to what the proverb says. When you are young, you spend all your effort gaining wealth and power to assure yourself of the glorious future you want to be. But when you are old, this is chasing the wind, you see. When you are old, you use all the wealth that you gather to regain your health. See the futility of gaining wealth as well? There's much better option, I would say, that the world offers. And the Bible, I will echo the Bible's option for us all tonight. How to prepare for the spiritual battle of your life. Maybe this year you have some plans to better your life. That's good. But it's not according to the word of God, it will bound to fail. Tonight, I will give you some piece of information which I've gathered, but I'm not trying to say and frighten you, but it frightens me. But it will lead us to the conclusion what this scripture would like to us to prepare for the spiritual battle ahead of us. Well, I've been preoccupied about 4 weeks ago until before I read this message, and I reflect upon preparing this message, that the most expensive war in the world today is not the war that was fought in Iraq, although Americans and Britain spend maybe billions of dollars, which put them to debt, which increases to almost $3 trillion. It's the only country in the world with the greatest debt that they cannot repay. And we are affected by this. And you should be fearful about it as well. Because America is paying their debt on another debt. They print more money in paying that debt. And that debt doubles the interest. And every American are now tied with that debt. And people, and even the best federal head secretary, federal secretary there right now, they don't know what to do with this debt. And the country who only gained out of that debt is China. And China, when they were discovered last year and fully detected were this cyberspace attempt to actually spy on American products and technology, especially particularly the military. They have now actually discovered what America are doing militarily. And President Obama was actually propelled to investigate how much damage. The damage is so great. But I don't want to you to talk about this and report it to the State Department. But a lot of people know about this. That every modern warfare that America have discovered, China are now producing them. And China is now ahead of America in selling armaments. And President Obama, and in fact China has now, not only that, they actually plan with other EU countries secretly to remove the dollar as the world currency, world reserve currency, because America is the only world reserve currency, no more, in a few years' time, or maybe in a few weeks, maybe in several months, America probably will not be the American, the world reserve currency. China will. And we are all affected by this. But when I'm saying this, because President Obama says in response to the cyber war, he actually spent nearly $40 billion to employ cyberspace experts. He has funded that and is doing that to counteract the damage that China has done. Now what I'm saying to you is that in terms, because we read that this government in verse 10, because the spiritual battle that I'm talking about here is real. That's why Paul deals the formidable foe that the church has to contend with. We have a spiritual battle before us. He sees the evil forces gathering when he was actually in prison, because the soldier that watches him, he pictures how the devil is doing the same thing to the church. And he hears almost the clashing of the arms among the approaching enemies when he was in prison. That's why he sent this letter. He warns the believers in Ephesians that unaided and left to themselves, they will be powerless in the strife and must suffer defeat. And they are secure and will be victorious only as they make the strength of God as their powerful weapon to make it at their disposal. So, the person I would like to think about in preparing for the spiritual battle of your life, for this year and the rest of our lives, is that to prepare for the spiritual battle of our lives, you must, and I must, understand that the battle is real. This is not a make-believe presentation of the Word of God. This is real. Look at what it says in verse 10 to 20. Look up back at chapter 6 and verse 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why did he say that? This is the greatest encouragement, Paul, to that Ephesians, to the people of Ephesians, the Christians there. It is a new church, but it's flowering. They are growing in the faith. That's why he said there in the hymn, I am praying that you grow, that your faith will grow exceedingly in verse 20, but we'll look back at that later. He praised God for their growth, but they don't know their inheritance in Christ. That's why the first three chapters, he touches on their inheritance. On the remaining three chapters, it's touching on how they can actually make it their own. That's why I encourage them now. This is the point. This is the bottom line of his encouragement on the remaining chapter 3, which it ends up in chapter 6, in verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How can they be strong? How can you be strong? How can I be strong? He said in verse 11, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Who are these rulers of the darkness of this age? These are the rulers of our countries and godly leaders. And those evil souls who did not accept Christ are roaming around in the heavenly places. And they are being sent by Satan to actually, what? Tempt us. And do all sorts of causing disunity. Not to those who have been unbelievers for a long time, but to those who have been born again, to the church. That's why he wrote this to the church. And our foe is not flesh and blood. That's why our spiritual battle is real. It's not. This is not something actually like comical or just subjective in the mind, as Dawkins tried to say. This is real. Our foe, our spiritual enemies, are not flesh and blood, though evil may take flesh form. The enemy is not some visible external force such as gambling or drugs or prostitution, though these are also as Satan's allies, but the enemy is a spiritual darkness operating within the human soul. In other words, this Christians who are not praying, who are just not reading the truths of the Word of God, they are weak because they don't know their inheritance in Christ. And Satan tricks them by making sin look good and unattractive, just as he did in the Garden of Eden. And you know the greatest lie that was perpetrated by Satan after God told Adam and Eve, especially the woman, that you shall not eat. Everything has been prepared for you, but you shall not eat of that fruit. The moment you eat of it, you will surely die. That's the warning of God. But Satan heard that, and he began to creep in the form of a snake. Did God really say that? Did God really say? He imputed a lie in the mind of the woman. And the lie was perpetrated and accepted as truth. And they disobeyed God. She ate that fruit, and she became aware of her nakedness and offered the same fruit to Adam. And that actually made the first offense, a big offense in the sight of God. That's what God is so offended, that immediately he convicted them of their sin. And they were actually driven out of the Eden. That until you are now going to sweat it out, you will never eat it freely. That's why you have to work, isn't it? Because of that. We can also see the design of Satan in 2 Corinthians 2:11. if you have your Bible, the design of Satan, because of the reality that our battles is real. Second Corinthians 2:11, it says, now I back up from verse 10. Now whom you forgive, in verse 10, anything I also forgave. He's teaching here about forgiveness. For it, if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is real, and he can inflict all sorts of damage and plans to destroy us, not only us individually, but us as a church. Going back to the cyber war, if you will be, for instance, all of us as computer, and our neighbor actually is prying into our private lives, and we don't know that that has been discovered, don't you, and you know that you are being talked about in the neighborhood, and we are thinking, how did somebody knows about this? And we have been spied. Do you realize the damage of that? And people, actually, that's why that newspaper company over there was closed, because they have been spying on people's private lives on their phone, including the royal family. It's only a matter of years that they were discovered. And it causes pain to them. Even the Prime Minister Brown was actually spied on. And actually, if you can see the hurt that this spying caused to people's lives, how much more actually we should be moved that the devil is spying on us. He's setting a scheme against you and me, so that when we are not prepared, without prayer, without dwelling on the Word of God, it can cause damage. It can set a paralysis, spiritual paralysis in our lives. Don't you know that that's the reason why a lot of churches and a lot of Christian lives, Christians are not growing? Because Satan has set a trap. He's spying on them to inflict damage, spiritual damage on their lives. And tonight, that is the reality. Because to prepare for this battle, we must be prepared and be open to realize and understand and accept the fact that Satan is planning a scheme to attack us and to not make us grow in the kingdom of God. If we all profess to be real believers in Christ, and people are hurt because of cyberspace or even the mobile phone interference spying on them, how much more we should actually know that Satan is doing to us. We must be actually spiritually prepared and react against Satan, isn't it? Now that this is revealed before us, he's spying on us and has a plan at any cost to destroy each one of us. Because this battle is real. And the scheme is that he can weaken us, and at the moment of what they call this unguarded moments of our spiritual life, he can create havoc in a family, in the church. And every church has a problem. And unless they wear the spiritual armor properly, which the Lord Jesus commands us, we cannot be victorious. We will be damaged with paralysis. After the devil uses every possible approach to accomplish this, from possible legalistic and intolerance to excessive tolerance. Well, how is that being portrayed? Well, people, the pastor, when they are in some other countries, perhaps in Britain, they will only allow the young people to hear what they want to hear. They dictate on the message they want to hear. And the Philippines, that's true. And they want to sing what they want to sing, loud music. So if people, if the pastor and the other elders are not agreed to this loud music, okay, it will go out of the church. That's why a lot of churches in the Philippines, they bow down to them. He said, I interviewed a lot of them. Why do you allow this loud music? Well, if you will not agree with them, these young people will leave the church. And we don't have any more people in the church. But you see, the truth of God's word is left behind. The truth that should mold the life, our lives, their lives, is under jeopardy. It is not being above the lives of people to change them, but they are actually wanting and dictating to the pastor what they want to hear. The devil is real, and his schemes are before us. And if we are not wearing this spiritual armor, which we are about to look, there is the damage. So, it is painful. We should feel hurt about what the devil is about to do in our lives. It's real. And he's about to do it after we come here. And perhaps while you're sitting, is this really true? That's what the bell is saying. Is that true? Psalm 119 is an antidote for this. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, so that I will not sin against thee. I want to check that. That's right. Yes, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And one of those armor that we will look into, the third point, is one of the truth. The truth of God's word that should actually affect our mindsets day by day, moment by moment, second by second. And secondly, we are not only to understand that the battle is real, but we should realize and understand that the battle is not in the future, it is now. We are facing the battle now. Let's go back to verse 12. Of Ephesians. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. And the scheme that we have read in 2 Corinthians 2:11 is that the devil can cause influence the way we think as well, because he attacks the mind, and that's one of that piece of armor we'll talk about in the third point. So that when he implants doubt in our minds, he can actually, in the midst of our blessings, in the midst of peace that we enjoy, in the midst of enjoyment as Christians we have, they are happy. But he's actually planning or scheming that instead of reading the whole Bible for 1 year, he can delay, do it later. As Pastor Mark encouraged us to read the Word of God, that we may inform our minds and fill up our minds with the word of truth and affect our minds daily. You can say, put it later. Do it some other time in the future. That is one of his schemes. He can cause that in our minds. Considering all the requirements that we have as a family, the parents and the mother and the children, and the demands of our job, of your job, creates pressure to succumb and fought before the feet of this scheming devil. They are real. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this because the Word of God says it.
Amen.
They are spiritual. They are reality. We don't hate our brother because of what he did. Because there is a spiritual forces causing others to hurt us. And we can see that the battle perhaps we talk about, or we heard about the Word of God last year, we did not respond to it because you're enjoying the prominence of blessings in your life. So that when God shakes our lives, we don't know what to do. We panic. And we go everywhere. We begin to call people, and that's good, and ask prayers, that's good. But God is expecting us as well to call unto Him. Call unto me while there is time. Call unto me who are heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. And I'll give you rest to your soul. He's not saying I'll remove all the burdens, but I'll make it light for you. Learn from me, for my yoke is easy. Dearly beloved, the battle is not in the future, it is now. So, the Word of God is that the devil, the spiritual forces who are being used by the devil, is true. And actually, it's not, sometimes the Christians are being used by the devil as well, who are not growing, to discourage other Christians as well. Because they don't have the strength that they have. And of course, Christians are easy prey of the devil as well, of the scheme that he plans to do. And he can tempt us in all sorts of things that if you're going to see the consequences right now before us, you will never do it. But the devil says, and in fact, I will say this to you. When I was in high school, there was a birthday of my classmates, and they are so happy, you know. I thought they are just drinking Coke. But they asked me to come and enjoy them. And there's one shot. Yeah, this shot, what's this? Oh, just do one shot and you can go. And I did one shot. But the other friend, my other friend said, oh, come back, you know. It won't do you harm. It's another shot. I took the other shot. This is liquor when I was 17 years old. And it developed into something. And when I come back to my class, I can see the numbers in their proper place. This has caused damage for that night. And if I don't stop meeting those friends, they could have led me into a drinking stupor. Same true with us today. If we are not careful and wearing the proper weapon, we will be an easy prey of the devil. And number three, that we should learn in order to prepare for the battle of our lives, spiritual lives, the battle demands preparation. And day by day, we prepare for our lives, isn't it? So, I'm asking faith to press that thing so that we will look on the preparation that we are about to do day by day. And we should do so because if we don't, we may succeed financially, we may succeed in our job, but spiritually, the devil has already a scheme for each one of us if we won't wear this armor, spiritual armor. So the preparation necessary to the performance of our spiritual duties in the midst of this present decadence and future evil days and present days, we must, or you must, And I must, in the midst of these difficulties and evil days, armed with divine grace. And an armed soldier, Christian soldier, is a contradiction in itself. If we face life, the battle, day by day, without this weapon, we are not victorious. We will be easily discouraged and lost the battle. It is useless for duty and exposed to impending death. Then he must be completely armed for offense and defense. And this is what is necessary. His armor must only come from the Word of God. And the first one is the truth. The belt of truth. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the verse I'm looking for a while ago. Thank God it's there. The truth of the reality that we are sinners needed to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the first truth that should actually motivate us to change for the better and for until the glory of Christ, which is in heaven, will overtake us. The truth will set us free. Without the truth of this word, as Psalm 119 says, verse 11, and as we only let the children encourage to memorize them, let us encourage ourselves to memorize. I'm sure Pastor Mark won't mind, in fact, he's asking people if they have something to share. Look, you're so silent, it takes too long to stand up because we don't have nothing to share. This is the best proof to share how the Lord is encouraging us in our faith. The belt of truth. And then secondly, in fact, before we go to the second, I want to point you to Romans 1:16, which is another good verse to alongside the belt of truth. Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek." The gospel of truth. And if we don't share this gospel, we may only put it in our minds, but the best way to show it's true is to share it to others. That's the best evidence. And then our Christian today never go out to share this truth to others, and the church suffers. Because when you die, you don't have someone to replace you in the church. Let's pray that this truth will occupy our minds daily. And that's the second wish is the righteousness. And having the breastplate of righteousness. There. Be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:9. 1 Peter 1:6 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Without holiness, people will not see the reality of Christ's presence in our lives. The breastplate of righteousness is the first righteousness that God has imputed upon us when He saved us on the first day of our salvation, when we first set to surrender our soul in Christ, when the Holy Spirit first worked in our lives and bred us in us so that we can believe in Christ and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. That's the day when God the Father drew us to Himself through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the effect of this righteousness that was imputed to us by Christ is a holy, righteous living. That's why we are not here just to receive information from the Word of God, but to allow ourselves to be moved by that Word and to change us into a reality conformable to Christ. Christ developing in us. And then number, the next one is the peace. The shoes of the gospel. The gospel of peace. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. That's why Christianity is the only formidable, truthful agency of God in this world to give hope to wanderers in the desert. The church is a good opportunity to witness. Strangers rest. Why do you call yourself strangers rest? Because when we are outside of grace, we are strangers. But now when Christ drew us, when God the Father drew us to himself through giving us the faith to believe in his Son as our Lord and Savior, we are now resting in his grace. That's how we should depend and to be truthful about the truth of the reality of what happened to us. What is the work of this grace doing in our lives? We are people of good news, proclaiming the good news of peace. And then number four is called faith. Above all, taking the truth of faith, the shield of faith, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The living faith is the faith that God gave to us on the first day of our salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, we cannot say we have faith unless this word of God that we read and cry about in prayer move us and reveal the truths that we need, this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and his plan for our lives. That's why believing all the promises that faith gives to us, because the living faith moves us in believing all the truth of God's word, and it moves us as well to share the truth that others need, the gospel of peace that we just read down below. And Paul prays for the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:3 that their faith grow exceedingly. Now, the question for us as a church today is, as Christians, do we pray for each other that our faith will grow exceedingly? So that when the pastor asks us for testimony, I've been praying for this brother for many, many years, or for many, many days. I praise God. God answered my prayer. Well, dear brothers, this is what Paul, in the Band in Ephesians, has been telling. Pray for me as well, so that I may preach with boldness the gospel of peace. Pray for our pastor before he stand there. I saw one pastor who can pray before, and I thank God that we have a pastor who is encouraging us to pray. I only know one pastor like that in the Philippines. Was the pulpit is elevated, that there is a ground below. He goes there underneath that pulpit. And I discovered him one day. He's not a visiting preacher where I remember in Baguio City. I thought a burglar was there. He was on his own. I didn't realize he's the preacher. He's about to preach and going to be called in 3 minutes. And he prayed that souls will be saved on that day. Praise God. There are souls that went forward and accepted the gospel of truth about the Lord Jesus Christ transforming power to call people in his kingdom. And then number five, hope. take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When you know that you are saved, it's a reality. It's a joyful reality that you don't want to keep it to yourself, but being moved to share it with others. I was reading a testimony from the book of John that an American has wrote in his 45 years in the ministry in the Philippines. There was an old Filipino lady, about maybe 70 years old, and in their Bible studies, he came and he was shouting and shouting, "Pastor, you know, before I've been afraid of walking in the darkness, but when Jesus came as my light, I'm not afraid anymore." That's a simple testimony, isn't it? But it moves those who have been long members of the church to have no testimony at all. Now that new old lady just became a Christian 3 days ago and joined the Bible study and says, "Pastor, I was afraid last week because I am walking near the cemetery full of bones and I heard sounds over there, and actually sometimes it made me come back home and allow myself to attend the Bible study. Tonight I believe the light of the glory of Christ in me make me not to be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Even Britain will be spied by China or America, but the Christians in this country can change that situation if we will fear God and pray that God will change the whole event. Let's pray that these schemes of man, these evil leaders, will move by God. And thank you that we are praying for leaders and the leaders in this country as well, and the leaders of the world. And then seven, the knowledge, the shield of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. This is the word, this is the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. This divine word is called the sword of the Spirit because it rendered effectual by the Spirit in slaying fleshly lusts and repelling outward temptations which war against the soul. The best tactics that the devil is they put a lot of attractive advertisements to attract people today. I was reading when I attended that class last Saturday at Metropolitan Town. Oh, they all fall in love. What is this fall in love? And you can now call, if you are same-sex partners, you can call that number and meet that man or woman. These are easy temptations, isn't it? But if we're not careful, even Christians can be trapped by this. What is the antidote? Again, 119 of Psalm, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that we may not sin against thee." In reflection of all this, having resisted and conquered, we still stand. Though Satan is repulsed, Satan feels he is not slain. His resources are not exhausted. There are still evil people he is using, even in the church. Those who are not saved, and they cause damage, and his wrath will continue, and he's spying on you, so that if you are prayerless, he can easily persuade you not to pray. That's why if you want to have a vibrant and victorious spiritual life, prepare day by day to wear this spiritual armor. Shall we do that tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the demonstration of your plan for us this 2014. Please help us as a church like Paul is praying for the Thessalonians, that their faith will grow exceedingly to the utmost. Oh Lord, help us to know these truths. Help us to reflect that we need Thee every hour. Grant us the desire, O Lord, to have a sweet communion with Thee. If we have led the past year without sweet communings with Thee, Lord, please grant us this sweet communion in reflecting upon Thy holy word. Fill us and grant us that desire to see Your glorious presence and Your glorious majesty in Your holy word and Your promises, that we may grow thereby from reflecting upon Thy truths. And cause us, Lord, to be taught in this discipline of prayer. As the Apostle Paul in verse 20 says, pray for me, pray for the elders, pray for each other, that we may all grow thereby exceedingly. And at the end, O Lord, we prayed like the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is not I who live, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself and died for me and for each one of us. Lord, accept the intent of our resolve tonight, that You help us to cover ourselves and wear this armor of Yours day by day, that we may be protected and be guided and be useful in Thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.